Excellent. Well, good afternoon and welcome. As Justin and Angie said, we're really excited to have you with us today. Today we are wrapping up a conversation that we've been in the midst of for the past 6 weeks called Freedom. If you haven't been with us, I highly encourage you to go back and to watch or listen online. It's been a really powerful conversation about the freedom that Jesus has stepped into our lives to make possible. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, he's made this possible for you. And we've been exploring what that looks like, looking at all the different ways that he's brought freedom into our lives, freedom from who we used to be, that when you trust Jesus, that you become a new creation, you're no longer the same, that when you step into this relationship with Jesus, he brings freedom from guilt and shame and the mistakes that we've made in our past, the way that we've hurt others, the way that we've walked away from him in our past. We looked at how he's brought freedom into our entire understanding of love and value and acceptance. We looked at this powerful truth that God has never and will never accept anyone based on what they've done. That his love and value and acceptance are outside of our actions. That it's based on what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And that our love and value and acceptance are secure in him when we place our faith in Jesus. In the beginning of this series, we explored all the different ways that he's brought freedom into our life. And then for the past couple weeks, we've been looking at the questions that come out of that. So if that's true, then why don't we just do whatever we want? If that's true, then what guides us and directs us? We saw how love is what guides us as we move forward. We saw that as we step into this, because of the fact that we're a new creation, we long for something else. We looked at how God's Spirit is working in our lives to call us to love and to call us away from the things that would destroy us. Last week, we looked at how we trust God, not just about our future, but also we trust God about the decisions that we're making on a day-to-day basis. And we trust him about sin and selfishness and what that brings into our life and how that motivates us to use our freedom, not just to do whatever we want, but to use our freedom to live a life that actually brings life, to live the life that Jesus said he gave his life for, that we could live life to the fullest, live life abundant. And today, as we come together and we wrap this whole thing up, I want to add one more piece to the puzzle. And I'm really excited about today. It's been an amazing morning because what we're about to talk through is an incredible mirror. It's an incredible mirror for us to be able to see in ourselves what we actually believe. For us to be able to see in ourselves whether or not we actually trust God about what we've been talking about for the last 5 weeks. Whether or not we actually trust him that he values us that way. Whether or not we actually trust him about what life and death look like and what selfishness and selflessness lead to. It's actually found at the very end of the book of Galatians. If you've been with us, you know that we've been walking through the book of Galatians in this conversation and looking at how he's interacting, the writer of Galatians is interacting with the churches about what freedom looks like. And at the end of the book of Galatians, he calls them to something very interesting. I want to take you there. This is going to be the passage that we dive into today. It's found in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And it says this. He's come to the end of the book. He says, in light of everything that I've talked to you about, in light of everything that I've walked through with you, here's what I want you to practice. And he says this, Galatians 6:1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. He comes to the end of it. And he's taught them about freedom. He's answered their questions coming out of freedom. They're questions that all of us have when we experience grace for the first time. He's walked them through all of that. And he comes to the end of it. And he says, and so here's what I want you to do. And something that I want for you to consistently practice. I want for you, when you see someone making a decision that's going to destroy them, when you see a brother or sister that's making a decision, I want for you to step in and say something. In every service, as I read that verse, the tension in the room rose. And many of you are sitting there saying, wait. You want us to do what? He says, I want for you to practice this. I want for you as churches to practice this. Inside your church, I want for you to practice this. When you see someone who's making a decision that goes against what we've just talked about of freedom, and when you see someone make a decision that's going to destroy them, when you see someone make a decision that isn't love, I want for you to step into that moment. I want for you to say something. I want for you to confront it. That makes almost all of us very uncomfortable. If you're here and that doesn't make you uncomfortable, everyone in your life hates you. For the rest of us, that makes us very uncomfortable. You want us to do what? We're going to practice what? Whenever I have conversations with people about this principle, I would say 80% of the time I have conversations with people about this principle. The first thing that they say to me is what many of you are thinking. Wait. Didn't Jesus teach not to judge? No. Judgment-free zone. This is supposed to, no judgment. Didn't Jesus? We're not supposed to judge one another. That actually comes from an interesting passage where Jesus, he says, don't judge lest you yourself be judged. But then he continues. He doesn't just say it in a void. He actually gives us a picture afterwards, and he talks to them further about it. Whenever you take a verse and you don't pay attention to what's around it, you oftentimes will misunderstand it, just like we've misunderstood that verse. Let me take you to what he continues to say. It's found in Luke chapter 6. He says, how can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. In the passage, what he's saying is, listen, don't go around making judgments about everybody else and not being honest about what's happening in your life. He's talking to the Pharisees and saying, you guys go around and you make all these judgments about what everyone else is doing, but you're not actually being honest about what's happening in your life. And he gives us this picture. He says, it's like you've got a log coming out of your eye and you're trying to help someone get a speck out of their eye. But what's the application of the passage? What is he calling them to? He says, first, get the log out of your eye. Deal with your own stuff. Be honest about your own situation. Why? So that you can help get the speck out of your friend's eye. The application of the passage isn't that you don't have these conversations. The application of the passage isn't, hey, everybody to themselves. That's not the application. The application is deal with what's going on in your life so that you can help other people deal with what's going on in theirs. But oftentimes we've taken the beginning of that out of context. And we've taught this idea that no. Jesus says you just know everybody mind their own business. When in fact Jesus teaches quite the opposite. It's not what he's teaching in Luke chapter 6. In Matthew 18, he specifically says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. As you read through the New Testament, you see that those who were closest to Jesus taught this over and over and over again. Matthew 18, Luke 17, 1 Timothy 5, 2 Thessalonians 3, 14, Galatians 6, 1 through 5, James 5, 19 through 20, Ephesians 4, 15, 1 Corinthians 5, 12. This wasn't a minor aspect to what it meant to follow Christ. It was taught over and over and over again. It's a major aspect to what it meant to be followers of Jesus and how we interacted with one another. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 5, in case you're not hearing it. And inside your online program, you can go back. You can pull it out on your phone. It has all these passages listed. You can look up those passages. If you're struggling to believe me that this is what God's called us to, then you need to go back and read through those passages so that you see that it's everywhere in the New Testament. And it's super clear. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders. In other words, he's saying, listen, it's not my responsibility to talk to people who haven't stepped into this relationship with Jesus about what it is that they do or don't do. He says, but for those who have stepped into this relationship with Jesus, listen to what he says. He says, but it is certainly your responsibility, and he's talking to the church, to judge those inside the church who are sinning. He says, it's actually your responsibility to step into these conversations. Says you have a responsibility to one another to step into those conversations. And in Galatians, he walks them through. Listen, we're free from the law. Look at what God's done to bring freedom into our lives. He talks through this truth that we don't use our freedom to destroy our lives, we use our freedom to pursue life. And then he calls them again to this. When you see someone using their freedom to go back to that which destroys us, to go back to sin, when you see someone using their freedom for selfishness instead of selflessness, I want you to step in. And I want for you to do something. But that makes us very uncomfortable. Some of you right now are trying to figure out, is there a way for me to get up and leave without people seeing? It makes us very uncomfortable. Because we don't actually believe grace. You see, I have the opportunity of having these conversations all the time. It's one of the great opportunities of my job. And it's amazing how many times I sit in a conversation with someone who's making a decision that is absolutely going to destroy them, is clearly against what God has called them to. And we'll be talking through this, and frequently they will say to me, and if you've ever had one of these conversations, you've probably heard this. Frequently they will say to me, they'll say, what do you think you're better than me? If you've ever tried to have one of those conversations, it's amazing how common that response is. You think you're better than me? You know where that comes from? It comes from the idea that people are valuable based on what they do. And in that moment, as I'm speaking to what they're doing, what they're hearing is, you're not valuable because of the decision that you've made. We so connect what we do to our value that it's almost impossible for many of us to be confronted about what we're doing without feeling like our value is being attacked. And it's very difficult Because most of us value people based on what they do. So it's very difficult for us to believe that others don't value us the same way. Listen to me. Most of us value other people based on what they do. So it's very difficult in that moment to believe that when what we do is being confronted, that our value isn't being confronted. And so we look at that person and we think, what do you think? You're better than me? You think you're more valuable than me? It's all based on an underlying assumption that people are valuable based on what they do. And one of the reasons why these conversations make us so uncomfortable is because we don't actually believe in grace. You see, the beginning of the entire book was, these conversations shouldn't be hard for you. You're not valuable based on what you do. Do you see how he's built a foundation from which these conversations completely change? Our understanding of what's happening in the conversation completely changes. Why? Because my value is not based on what I do. I'm not valued, loved, or accepted based on what I do. I've been challenging myself with this all week. And asking myself, can I get to the point where I so believe in grace? Can I get to the point where I so believe in grace that when confronted about my actions, it does not affect my feeling of value, love, or acceptance at all? Because it shouldn't. I should be able to be confronted about my actions and feel exactly the same as it pertains to my value, my love, and my acceptance, because it is secure based on what Jesus has done, and it will never change. You see, one of the reasons why it's so hard for us is that we struggle to really believe in grace. That's why what he's calling us to at the end of this book is such a beautiful mirror, because it reveals in us what we believe about value and love and acceptance. It reveals in us how connected our value and our actions are in our own lives. It also reveals in us what we really believe about sin. Reveals in us what we really believe about what God's calling us to and those other things that we're called to. What we believe about selflessness and selfishness. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a conversation with a leader, and we were talking about following Jesus, and we're talking about following Jesus in leadership and what that meant for your life and the things that you're going to have to give up and some of the things that you're going to have to walk away from and some of the decisions that you were going to make or have to make. And she looked at me and she asked me a question. She said, do you worry about it? Are you afraid of all that you're going to have to give up? Are you afraid of all that you're going to have to walk away from? And I thought about it for a second, and I actually laughed to myself. Because as I thought about it, one, I knew exactly what she was talking about. I knew that feeling. Some of you, as you're exploring what it means to follow Jesus, you know that feeling. And you know that to follow Jesus, it's going to mean that you're going to have to change the way that you live. You have to change some of the decisions that you're making because Jesus defines love differently than you do. And I know that feeling. I lived a lot of my life looking at it. And I was afraid of what I was going to have to give up. Afraid of what I was going to have to walk away from. Afraid of some of the decisions that I was going to have to make. But as I sat there in that moment and reflected on her question, it hit me that somewhere along the line, something had shifted. Somewhere along the line, something had shifted. And I looked at her and I said, I know what you mean. I said, but honestly, I'm not nearly as afraid of what I will have to give up as I am of what I won't give up. I said, I understand what you mean, but the longer that you're on this journey and the more that you trust Christ and the more that you follow him, the more that you will move from being afraid of what you have to give up to being afraid of what you won't give up. The more that you move from being afraid of what it looks like to follow to being terrified of not following. Because you see, you may not be like me. You might be smart and have it all together and understand how to navigate this thing called life. But I'm really bad at it. And I have an unbelievable ability to destroy my life in a very short amount of time. Like a remarkably short amount of time. And I've done it over and over and over again. And I've lived with the harvest of those decisions. And what we talked about last week. And I know that the harvest of those decisions, it doesn't just last for a few minutes. Sometimes it can last for years. Some of them I will live with for the rest of my life. And as I've watched that in my life, I've developed a new fear. And that fear has become stronger. I understand that fear of following. But the more that you follow Jesus and you see the truth of what he's calling you into and you see the truth of what he's calling you out of, the more you begin to develop a fear. A new fear. A fear of what happens when you hold on. A fear of what happens when you don't surrender. A fear of what happens when you don't follow. The consequence of that. But we struggled to trust him about sin. You see, when we begin to see sin the way that God sees it, when we begin to see the destruction of it in our lives for what it actually is, when we begin to come to grips with that idea of the harvest of our actions and what you plant is what you reap, when we begin to see that for what it actually is, we don't run from these conversations. We run to them. Because of the fact that we're still afraid of what we have to give up, we're nervous about these conversations. But when we see it for what it is, and the more that that shift happens in our lives, the more that we welcome them. Why? Because I don't want to hold on to that stuff anymore. I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to get 5 years down the road and reap the harvest of that decision. I don't want that. So I welcome the conversation. I don't run from it. I'm excited about the conversation. We hear him call us to this, and it makes us uncomfortable because we still struggle to believe grace. We still struggle to understand and to trust that what God's calling us into is the most abundant life possible. And I hope you understand in this moment, what he's doing is he's continuing to help them understand what love is. He's continuing to help them understand, no, this is how you love each other. This is how you care about each other, that you step into these moments. And I think there's something inside of us that understands that. I don't know if it's the fact that we're created in God's image and so it's just part of us or what, but I think there's actually something inside of us that understands this. We don't embrace it, but we understand it. A couple weeks ago, I told you about a time in my life where I was underage. I'd begun to drink pretty heavily, and I told you about how I went to my grandparents and how they helped me to be able to step out of that. But as I was preparing for today and as I was preparing for the series, I remembered being in that struggle. And the interesting thing about it is that as I was in the midst of this and as I was making these decisions that were incredibly destructive in my life, there were a lot of people who knew about it. There were a lot of people who knew. And there were a lot of people who knew this was going to destroy me. And I can remember very clearly laying in bed at night thinking to myself, I wish somebody cared enough to say something. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because it's how you went to bed last night. That moment, or that time in my life, was a time period in which I felt probably more unloved than any other time in my life. Because I knew that they knew. And I knew what all of us at some level know. Love would say something. Love would say something. We know it at some level. And I think at that level, we know it even when they say something. We don't know it enough or believe it enough to not blow up on them because I absolutely would have gone off on anyone who would have said something to me. But at some level, I knew this is what love looks like. Love would say something. We know that. And in this moment again, he's saying, no, this is what love looks like. To love like Jesus, this is what it looks like. And again, it holds the mirror up to us. It allows us to see what we believe about love, how much we love. It reveals what we believe about grace. It reveals what we believe about sin. It reveals what we believe about love. And it's the key. It's the key to understanding grace. What I mean by that is this. On this journey, our understanding of God is shaped by the people around us. It's impacted by the people around us. That's why for some of you, you left the church because you looked at the people around you and you said, I don't want anything to do with God. It's shaped by, we help each other to understand God, or we hurt each other's ability to understand God. And in this moment, he's calling us to teach one another about grace. You see, and I know for some of you, you're like, what are you talking about? How would confrontation have anything to do with grace? Again, because we misunderstand grace. We think that grace is anything goes as opposed to the reality that no. Grace confronts the mistake, but grace confronts the mistake with unwavering love, value, and acceptance. Jesus steps into our lives and he confronts the brokenness,
but he confronts it while giving his life so that the love, value, and acceptance will be secure forever. And what he's saying to us now is, do that for one another. I'm convinced that if we want to be a community that truly believes in God's grace, it won't be simply because we learn about it. It won't be just simply because Jesus teaches us this and we trust him. It will be because we step into one another's lives and we practice it over and over and over again, to where we're able to have those conversations and address what's happening, but have unwavering love, value, and acceptance. To be in the midst of those conversations and to value that person the same no matter what. I used to be really bad at this, but over the years, I just continue to practice it and follow God, and I've gotten better and better and better. I joke with the other services. I think part of it is that I frequently speak to you and know that you're not going to listen to what I have to say. And so I've practiced loving and valuing, accepting you the same no matter what. And if we're going to be a community that shines the light of grace to the world, it will be because we practice it with one another. And grace is not, hey, everyone minds their own business. No, no, no. Grace cares more about living an abundant life and following Jesus than that. Grace cares more about each other than that. Grace is stepping in and having the difficult conversation, but communicating through all of it over and over and over again. I don't love, value, and accept you based on what you do. I love, value, and accept you based on what Jesus did on that cross for you. And that will never change. And as we practice that with one another, it's then, I think, that we'll fully begin to understand and realize the truth of God's grace in our own lives. Jesus has stepped into your life. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, we've lived our entire lives. We've lived our entire lives seeking value and acceptance and love. We've done that by creating a mask. We've done that by creating a mask that we show to the world, hoping that we'll be loved and valued and accepted based on it. Anthony talks about this sometimes. He talks about it like when you first begin to date a person, how when you first start to date, you send your representative. It's not actually you. We actually do that every day of our lives. None of us are actually as good as our mask. You just say that to your neighbor? Just say, you're not as good as your mask. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't value your mask. Jesus didn't value your mask. As a matter of fact, there's very little in your life that Jesus despises as much as your mask. Jesus has stepped into your life, and he's peered around the mask, and he said, you can come out now. You can come out now. I don't value the mask, but I do value you. You You can come out now. Let's learn how to love. Let's learn how to live the life that you were created to live. All of us together. No mask. Come on. All of us together. Let's pursue it. Let's pursue it. And if there's ever any question about your value or your love or your acceptance, you just look at me. You just look at me. And I'm going to value this way. You guys learn how to value this way. And we're going to pursue it. We're going to pursue what I created you to be together. That's what this thing called the church is supposed to be. Will you pray with me? Father, there's so much that has to shift in the way that we think, in the way that we see the world, in order for us to really live this. Father, I pray that you would, that you'd help us to see, you'd help us see the truth of what it is that you're calling us out of, what it is that you're calling us into. I pray that you'd help us to move our understanding beyond just our intellect, that the truth of our value and love and acceptance being secured, that it would work its way to the core of who we are, that its roots would grow down into our heart and our soul, so that we'd be able to be in the midst of these conversations and still in that moment feel valued, loved, and accepted. I pray that we would begin not just to appreciate these conversations, but that we would begin to value them. Because we trust you about where life is found. And because we understand that this is how we get to teach each other grace. Bring it into one another's lives. So that we can understand your grace even better. Oh, what an amazing job you have done of loving us. Thank you. In Jesus' name.